This is really loud, and I like it. Hey, are you guys ready to get some good news? Like, that was great. Thank you, worship team. Every week for years and years and years, they bring us into God's presence. And, you know, we do lift him up, but he can't be lifted any higher. Guess where he's already seated? In heaven, on a throne, at the right hand of the Father. We can't get any higher, but you know what? He can be lifted up in here. Like, am I seeing my world through his view? Amen. When he gets lifted up inside of me, children ages 4 to 11, you're dismissed. They're doing their final deal of, they've been doing a month of worship in the back, in the History Makers class, and the children's ministry are doing a great job. I look at what they're doing today. I went back and toured the classroom. It's great. Yeah. You guys, if you slip out and go back there, they're just going to send you back here. So don't even try it. But it really is good. And worship team, it's really good. I'm glad that you're here. Now, listen, we've already been having fun. Because it's fun when I remember how big he is and how small my problems are. Amen. You know, God, be lifted up. I've got some big problems. You're bigger. You're bigger. You're bigger. You're bigger. And every time I make that declaration, something happens. It's like, I think that we're just joining in with what's already true in him. Amen. He's already lifted up higher, guys. And I want you guys to have some fun today. I want you to have fun this morning. Like, I really do. I think this is a big day. I think God has some gifts for us today that may be really important. And, why do I want you to have fun this morning? Because believe it or not, I want you to be happy. Amen. I really do. I mean, I really, really want you to be happy, like joy deep inside, a happiness that storms can't affect. And I believe God wants us to be happy. So, you know what? The truth is, though, most of us, and so that's why I have this party thing on the board today. That's a party happening. I want you to be happy. Listen, be happy. Be happy or I'm going to throw something at you. Right? I mean, listen, I've been yelled at in church before, but it never got yelled at for not being happy. Well, today, you're getting yelled at if you're not happy. And the thing is, there's reasons we aren't happy sometimes. So, I just want to tell you something. I don't know if you're aware of this. God is not playing whack-a-mole with us. Y'all know what whack-a-mole is? Have you ever played that game? Some of you young people don't know there actually games like this. I have a video of a whack-a-mole game I want to show you that will give you an idea. This is not who God is. He is not playing whack-a-mole. I promise he's not. Man, that guy's focused, isn't he? He's like, he is going to whack a mole. And a lot of us see God just like that. He's waiting. Yes, and then when he hits you, he wins. No, that is not what God, and he's not happy. But we think God's like that. He's sitting and he's like, focus. And if you move your head, if you poke your head up, I'm getting it. No, no, no. No, no. How could you ever be happy if that's who God was? It's not who he is. And this morning, I just want you to be happy. And there's a reason, you know. Listen, okay, so I'll just ask you a question. Another question. I'm leading you somewhere. I'm setting you up for something. I'm setting you up for freedom. Amen. And for happiness, right? How many of you guys believe in the tooth fairy? No. Sit your hands back down. None of you believe in the tooth fairy. You are the tooth fairy. How many of you believe in Santa Claus? Don't answer. I don't want to. If some of you are still believing in Santa Claus, amen, go with it. I mean, some of you that are under 14 in here right now may still believe in Santa Claus. It's okay. I'm not pointing you out by name. No. But I want to tell you, you know what? Do you believe in monsters? You see, there's a monster. There's a monster in this room right now that's trying to steal your happiness. It really is. And, you know, the only reason it can steal our happiness is if we believe it. And so I want to deal with a monster today because I really do want you to be happy. You know, and this monster is something we all deal with. It's the monster that I call guilt and shame, embarrassment. Like, do you deal with guilt? Like, are there things from your past that you still, just can't get over? You can't forgive yourself for? That embarrass you? Do you deal with guilt? You know, there a lot of us, I think, it's a very common monster that climbs onto our backs. And as long as that thing is sitting on top of you, you'll never be happy. You know, here's some questions. I want to, maybe you're not aware. I mean, actually, I think some of us are aware. We know that shame is a huge part of our life. We're embarrassed all the time. Do you catch yourself looking in the mirror constantly to make sure you're okay? You don't want to go out and be embarrassed by it. Do you focus? Does it take you a long time to pick out your outfit in the mornings? I mean, I know. Well, it does, Josh Carillon, but a lot of you, right? It's like you, I'm not saying it's 100%, but do you apologize profusely? Do you say, I'm sorry, like 10 times a day, 20 times a day? That's a sign that you're dealing with something. You know, do you get mad at yourself when you mess up? Do you blame yourself when things don't go right in your life? You mean that's guilt? That's shame? Mm-hmm. It is. Do you blame yourself when things don't go right in someone else's life? That's like guilt and shame on steroids. Like, you're really, really good at this thing. You can blame yourself for everything in the world. It's like, you know, you're the reason that the ice caps are melting. You know that, right? You see, our world economy, a lot of our economy is built on guilt and shame. Have you ever said this to a kid? You should be ashamed of yourself. Have you ever said it to yourself? Oh, well, it's okay if I do it to me. I just wouldn't do it to a kid. Really. Y'all know that I have two sons, and they work here at Grace. They work in the sound booth. Matthew's up there now. Everybody say, hello, Matthew. Hello, Matthew. Yeah. He waved. He waved and almost smiled. He's happy. You can't be real happy up there all the time. It's stressful. But my oldest son, Daniel, I wanted him to help me illustrate this guilt and shame monster. And so he happens to be back behind stage. But he's in character, okay? He's 11. This happened a long time ago in his life. This is Daniel at 11. Isn't he the cutest thing? So tell us what happened. What's going on?
I bombed a test.
Oh. Oh. I wasn't expecting that.
I know. Yeah, I feel terrible. I've never done that before. What's your name?
Oh, names don't really matter. For those of you out there, that's eyesight is as bad as mine. I'm shame. How are you doing?
I'm not so good.
What about your test? That is so sad. You know, you and I can be best friends.
Why would I want to be friends with you?
Are you kidding? I am so much fun. I bring a lot to the party. I mean, think about it. If you take me on, then all the fun we can have, I can protect you as well. I'm a great source of protection.
Well,
I mean, think about it. Do you want to keep feeling like this all your life? You're probably going to live a really long life. Do you really want to feel like this for the rest of your life? I mean, you seem like a risky kid. You like to take risk?
Yeah.
But think about it. If you take risk and it comes out really bad, and people make fun of you, your buddies, that would be awful, wouldn't it?
Oh, I don't want to be made fun of anymore.
Oh, that's so sad. If you take this on, then I'll make sure to keep all of this away.
And I don't have to feel bad anymore?
No, you don't have to feel bad because you'll have me. We'll be like this. We'll be best friends forever. And I will protect you.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
You want to take me on and we'll be friends? Oh, I love being best friends with people. Here, got to get down. There we go. I'm fun-sized. All right. Oh, this feels real nice. He's cute.
I'm not sure he knows what he just took on. We'll be back in 20 years, okay? Listen, we think guilt and shame help us. We think it motivates our children to do better so they can be proud and they'll make us proud. You think that blaming yourself will actually empower you to do better, just like he did. And boy, shame and guilt looks good, doesn't it? Like, he married that thing. He's going to have a couple children. And it's not going to be pretty. Guys, it's a big deal. What's the truth about guilt and shame in your life? I think our culture, even our church culture builds on guilt and shame. I want to see us set free. I believe the very, very heart of God isn't. He's not sitting in heaven. He's not playing whack-a-mole with us. He is not. You know what he's doing? He's wanting our hearts. You know what he's waiting for? Anxiously waiting for? Like that guy was so focused to hit those little rats. He's waiting to love you. He's waiting to encourage you. He's waiting to embrace you. He's not waiting for to hit you on top of the head with a big sponge mallet. That's not who God is. He loves you. He really does, but we were taught he doesn't. We were taught he's angry with us. We were taught that he thinks we're evil. We were taught all those things, and so we were built with a foundation of shame. And I believe that the scriptures, that's not the truth. I believe we were taught something that isn't true. I think the truth is it's God's heart. And what happened is something came into our life called guilt and shame, and it takes away our happiness. It takes away your peace. It creates a burden in your life. So today I want to look at this. What really happened, you know? So you have to go back to Genesis, right? You guys all know the Genesis story. Heavens and earth, God, the earth, the void was covered, the deep was covered with darkness, symbolizing Satan. And then God said, let there be light, and the light overcame the darkness. It's Jesus is the light. But the truth is, in the beginning, the man and wife were naked, and they felt no shame. You know what? They were unaware. They felt no shame. They had nothing to be ashamed of. Were they just like us? Well, they didn't have gray hair like some of us, but other than that, they're pretty much just like us. Well, but there was no shame. They weren't aware of anything, and God lived with them in the garden, and he put them in charge of everything, and he said, listen, everything in the world's yours. I want you to tend this garden. I want you to make it produce more. I want you to bring life to the world through this garden. And he said, but don't eat from the knowledge of tree and evil. I just want y'all to be happy. Knowledge of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Y'all know that tree? It's a tree of self-awareness. It's a tree of being conscious of yourself. It's like a child is so happy until they get to the place where they know that they're weird. They know that they don't do things right. Then all of a sudden, a kid begins to judge themselves and they become self-aware, and guilt and shame becomes a daily part of their lives. And the thing is, Adam and Eve weren't created that way. And y'all know what happened. Satan came into the garden. God put him there. And Satan said, listen, I know what will help you be better. I know what will make you prosper. I know what will make God happy with you. Eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it was a lie. God said, don't ever eat from that tree. Eat from the tree of life. That's the tree that who God is. He's life. He's love. Like, he didn't want to do anything but put his arms around you this morning. Every piece of guilt in your life is a splinter that's festering and about to get infected and cause death in your life. God wants to pull that splinter out, and he's not like me. He'll give you an antiseptic before he pulls it out. He'll give you a painkiller. But he wants to pull that splinter out of your heart, because we all deal with guilt and shame. So, what's the problem? We were taught we're the problem. Right? I don't want to even use that term, because it's not a biblical term. That wasn't the fall that happened in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. That was God, that was humanity becoming self-conscious and not seeing themselves the way God sees them anymore. And it created a vision, a separation between us and God, because we were embarrassed. Adam and Eve were ashamed of themselves, and God wasn't. Just wasn't at all. And so what happened? Adam and Eve got some leaves, sewed them together to cover themselves. Like, that would really help God not see you. He's like Superman, you know, he could see right through your clothes. And how many of you bought those glasses they used to sell in comic books that you could see through people's clothes? Only these three men right here. I never bought a pair. I knew they weren't true. I wanted them, and I wanted it to be true, but it wasn't true. God doesn't need those, neither does Superman. Then guess what God did? We were told he couldn't even look on Adam and Eve. He was so disgusted with them. The truth is, he loses one sheep and he'll leave 99 and go find the one. That's who God is. He's not whack-a-mole. He's not. He loves us. Says he went and found Adam and Eve. Said, Adam and Eve, where are you? And Adam answered, I heard your powerful presence. Adam was already scared of the hammer. He said, the hammer's coming down. So he hid. I was afraid because I was naked. And then God let a secret out, guys. You know, the problem wasn't his nakedness. The problem was who told him that he was naked. We've been told our whole lives that we're a problem. I mean, I know I'm a problem sometimes. It's like, if you cook for me, I don't like basil, I don't like thyme. There's some things I don't like. I'm a problem to cook for. But I'm not a problem. God doesn't hate me. He's not mad at me. He never was. He's looking for me. All my life, he's looked for me. So he said, who told you you were naked? Right? See, there's something you need to know in order to be happy. You need to know what the problem really is. And if you don't know what the problem is, you'll never be happy. The problem isn't you. It's who told you that you're the problem. That's the problem. Who told you you were naked? And so I love these verses. I just picked out a handful of them. They're all over the scripture. Hebrews 2:13. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here I am and the children God has given me. That's Jesus talking, right? Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. so that by his death he might destroy those people. No, it's not what it says. You know who Jesus came to destroy? Not you. He came to destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. We were told our whole lives were the problem. The whole lives. And he came to set us free. And he did. He set us all free. Those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. You know what holds us in slavery is our fear of not being good enough. Our fear that God's not going to provide for us. Our fear that our past is going to catch up with us. Fear is what holds us. And that's another demon. You see, we're not the problems. Satan is. Now, I love these verses. I love this John verse. Jesus, right before Jesus goes to the cross, he's doing all this huge truth and stuff's coming out of him. He said, "Father, glorify your name." He's talking to the Lord. "Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and I will glorify it again." God spoke out of heaven to Jesus. And everybody thought, they thought it thundered. And others said an angel had spoken to him. And Jesus said, "This voice was for you guys, not me. Now is the time for judgment." Uh-oh, here comes that hammer. You whack-a-moleans. Right? Here comes the hammer, judgment. See, you knew, you've been taught your whole life, God's bringing judgment to the earth, and he's judging people. You've been taught that your whole life, and you've been deceived. And there's a better, there's good news. He didn't come to judge people. Jesus himself said, and I know it's him because it's red letters. That was a joke. You guys didn't get it. My humor is just way beyond you guys. I understand that. I don't expect laughter at all. I really don't. I feel like I'm preaching to goldfish. I didn't say that out loud, did I? I love goldfish. They swim around the little glass jar. You're welcome. Who's he judging? He said, "The prince of this world." That's who he's judging, not you. Do you have a whack-a-mole picture of God? Or do you see him as the most loving, kind, gentle father ever? And there's a thousand reasons to say thank you, just like that songs that, you know, that thing we sang a while ago. There's a thousand reasons to say thank you. So, and then he said, "When I'm lifted up," which he is, right? "I'll draw all men to myself." Guys, that's how much he loves people. You know, he didn't say some men to himself. Like some of us are still resisting him. Good luck. When he said, "Let there be light," it was unstoppable. The darkness could not stop the light. Well, he said he's going all men to himself. Guess what? You're all going to get there. Whether you want, some of you are kicking, screaming. You think, "I'm, you know, whatever." Good luck with that. Because he said he's drawing all men to himself. Now, I love this. Jesus came to deal with the darkness. He did not come to deal with you. He came to set you free. He came to make you happy. He came to give you fulfillment. He came to give you a purpose. He came to rescue you from your past, just like he's rescued me from my past. That's what he came to do. And we're precious to God. We just are. He really, really, really likes you. Like if he was sitting beside you right now, he'd be passing notes back and forth. "I love you. You love me. I love you. Circle two. How much do you love me?" Y'all be doing that all day, and I'd be like, "Would you pay attention?" Well, God's telling me how much he loves me. Oh, that's okay. Because he does. You know, when children lose their innocence, it's when they become self-aware. Until then, they're happy. Then they get embarrassed. You know who the enemy is? It's the devil. Jesus already defeated the devil and his demons. Now, wait a second. Then how come guilt and shame are still here? Why is there still guilt and shame? Why do you still feel guilty? I mean, if your baby was crying in the sanctuary, would you feel bad about it and feel embarrassed? Everybody's looking at you? That's Josiah. They call him Big Boy. You can look at him and tell why. He's a big boy, right? You know the problem is? We let the enemy back into our lives. We do it. And Paul said this in Galatians 5:1. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Now, he said us. So he had the same demons whispering in his ear too. Remember, he killed people to try and stop the church from going? Remember, he broke families up, put children and mothers and dads in prison, worse than any terrorist on earth today. That's what Paul did. He heard voices saying he wasn't good enough. He heard voices putting him in place. He knew that. He said, Christ has set us free, though. So stand firm. You know, the only time you have to stand firm is when there's a wind blowing. There's something trying to knock you down. There's something trying to pull you down. And Paul said, stand firm. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a great big old fat yoke of slavery known as guilt or shame. And guilt and shame can't touch us unless we let it. Because Jesus has already set us free. So, you know, I love that. So I'm going to call 20 years later. What happened to that 11-year-old kid that welcomed that beautiful thing to become attached to his back? What do you think happened to him? So, Daniel, are you still here? Let's see if I can get the... It hadn't been easy. I've been watching him, and he's like, he's about to break. So, you need help? Here they come. So how's that been going for you?
Oh, it's been going good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it...
It's like it's choking the life out of you.
It's gotten heavier over the years.
I think that guilt, that shame and guilt has grown a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, it happens when they have children.
Yeah.
Edit that out, Matthew, please. Yeah. So has it all been positive?
Oh, I haven't got hurt, but I...
Yeah, so that's not good.
My stomach hurts sometimes.
Yeah, it looks like your back hurts too.
Yeah. It I want to go and have fun and go places, but it just it's a little hard to get around.
Yeah, I understand. It looks like this is going to wear you out, too.
Yep, it's a long skit.
Yeah. So, you know, I understand that guilt makes you, like, question everything you do, doesn't it?
Yeah, I just can't ever, I'm just not sure, and it's just, just better not to try.
Yeah, I think it's, yeah, that'd kill me, too. But, you know, it's like you have to keep getting her back on over and over and over again, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine your early morning jogs now. Yeah. I ain't touching it. I don't want anything to do with that thing. So, you know, it looks like the benefits aren't near as much as the weight that you're carrying.
No, I think I'm about ready to lighten.
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
listen. All you got to do, right? I want to show you a verse. Can you turn around?
Yeah.
Okay. 1 John 1:9, it's from the Bible. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, you know what that word sin there, hamartia, what it's talking about? Do you know who would have protected you when you were 11 and taken care of you and helped carry you instead of weighing you down? Jesus. Jesus. I bind that spirit. Like, do you mind if I bind your spirit?
No, no, that'd be good.
I bind that spirit. I forbid you to act up. I forbid you to interfere. I forbid you to say or do anything other. I command you to stand still. There. Is that better?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So instead of guilt, I command you to. That's right. So guilt hasn't helped you any. Really?
No, I guess it hasn't.
I know. You know, all we have to do, sin is where you depend upon something besides God to take care of you, to provide for you, to protect you, to make you successful. And anything, see, God, how about, can I ask God to speak to you about how he feels about this spirit in your life?
Yeah.
So, Jesus, would you speak to Daniel about this spirit? How do you feel about it? That's what you think.
Man, I don't. Man, he really loves me. And I don't have to have this in my life.
Yeah. So, you know what that word confess means? It's a Greek word. Compound Greek word means homologeo, which means to see it the way God sees it. He doesn't think you need this thing. So if you don't want that thing.
No, I. Nope.
Yeah, I forbid the spirit to talk, so I've never seen this spirit ever not talk.
Yeah.
We're seeing a miracle, people. This is a miracle. I hope they got this on TV. On YouTube. So yeah. All you have to do is agree with God about this, and then you know what? I don't know if you'll notice this. If you agree with him and you want to not do this anymore, to make this bargain anymore, God is faithful and just to forgive, which means release. Forgive, release you from that thing forever, and cleanse you from that dirty, evil, despicable spirit. The slimy one. Okay? All right. So you want to do that?
Yeah. So, So God, I don't want this anymore. Man, and I'm sorry I didn't, I'm sorry I picked that up, and I'm ready to give that up.
Amen. So I bind that spirit. I command you to leave now. Go on. See how easy it is to get rid of the spirit of guilt and the spirit of shame? Because all you do is agree with God that it's you would rather depend on him than the spirit. So how did that spirit get attached to Daniel? He invited it in. It lied to him and told him it would make his life better. How simple that is. And how innocent it looks. But I could tell the first time I saw her, she was bad news. You know what I mean? It's like, I knew it. She was bad news. But you know what? God loves you so much that it doesn't matter how long you've been carrying this. He'll set you free from it today. And all you have to do is agree with him. God, I don't want to feel this way anymore. I don't want this thing. I don't want it to protect me. I don't want it to make me successful. I don't want it to be the thing that keeps me from disappointing myself or other people. God, I want to trust you. When you make that decision, then God, he is the one who sets you free and cleanses you from every effect of that spirit. He does it. He's always wanted to do it. Will you let him do it? Amen. So let's all stand up, if you don't mind. You're not bad. You've never been bad. But you need Jesus. You need Jesus. Some of you really need Jesus. You know what I mean? Some of you got that stuff all over you from that spirit, and God wants to clean you up. He wants to release you from the ways that has affected your life, from the way it's affected your relationships, your maybe even your business. Like, one of the things that spirit did, it made Daniel not try things because he believed he might fail, and he'd rather die than fail. And that spirit kept whispering, "You failed before, failed before." Jesus loves you. So let's bow our heads, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you see somewhere in your life where this thing has been affecting you, I just want you to know it's not you. God said, "Who told you?" It was Satan. It was Satan. It's not you. So, if you want to be free from this spirit, just in your heart, just repeat after me, okay? And then I'll pray for you. Okay, so let's just bow our heads. So God, would you show each one of us in this room whether we need to deal with this spirit in our lives? So just let him show you. So if you're ready to give this thing up, then just repeat to yourself, repeat after me. God, I don't want this anymore. Father, I don't want to depend upon guilt and shame to protect me. I want to trust you. And I choose to let this go. And I ask you to release me and to cleanse me. Okay, so I'm going to pray for you as a group, okay? So God, I just thank you that you care about shame and guilt. You care about us. God, I just ask for we'd have even more revelation about how much you love us, about the truth about who we are than we've ever had before. And Father, I pray for my friends that deal with this spirit, not just here today, this morning, the people online, God, the city of Cabot, our families, God, that every one of us that are in bondage to this spirit, God, that we would be set free today. God, I ask that you would create new ways of thinking in our minds, that God, you would break those habit patterns in our brains, that we blame ourselves, that we always take a responsibility for everything, even for things that aren't in us, we still are responsible, God. God, I just release people from that bondage. God, I release our bodies from the chemical ways this has affected us, from the way that it's affected us physically. God, I release people's backs right now. I release stomachs right now that have been irritated, God. Father, I ask that you would restore us chemically in our brains in every way that these spirits have affected us, God. I ask that our eyes, that we would be able to see in the light now, that your voice would become more real and louder to us than anything else. And God, I bind the spirit of shame. I bind the spirit of guilt, the spirit of embarrassment inside all of us, even over our city in this area, God. And I command that spirit to release everything it's stolen from us. I command that spirit, every lie it's been speaking, to be exposed. That Holy Spirit, you would bring truth and revelation to every one of us. And I command that spirit to go stand before Jesus. God, I just thank you. I ask that you'd heal every relationship that's been damaged by that spirit in our lives. That we would be free. And God, we would be renewed the way you created us to be. Now, I'm going to ask Jesus to come now. So I just want you to wait for him and just invite him in. So Jesus, I ask you to come. So God, I just thank you for Scripture. I thank you for what Genesis really says. And everything that you're doing today, God. We just thank you. Amen. Blessings today. Thank you. If you need prayer, something specific you'd like prayer about, there'll be people up here that want to pray with you. So listen, blessings. Have a great day. And be happy.